Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. You can follow me at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow Steve at Steve Geller WWL. You can follow the show at Saints_Pod. And if you haven't, just please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, ring the bell on YouTube. Leave a comment. Leave a rating. Leave a review wherever you are. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you'd like us to do more of, what we want to see us do better, and we'll do our best to make you happy. So a team that's not doing their best, it seems, to make you happy is the Saints, who have lost for an eighth time this year. It has clinched a record of no better than 9-8, and that's if you win your final five games.
You know, what is it, 1-4 in one score games?
1-4 in one score games. The Saints haven't had a record of fewer than 7 wins since the 2005 season, the year before Sean Payton got here. Wow. And You're it's going to come close. I see 2 wins left on this schedule in against the Giants, against the Raiders. Like, you're going to win those 2 games, and then I think you could lose the rest of your games. And I think 6-11 is very much on the table, and a top 10 pick is very much on the table. So we'll see how that goes. I'm still one loss away from fully diving into 2025 mode, because if you do win out, then that's at least a conversation worth having. If you lose to the Giants, it's over. If you lose to the Redskins, that's like 3 teams ago. If you lose to the Commanders, it's over. If you lose to the Packers, it's over.
No one's going to say, though, if they lose to the football team.
Yeah, if they lose to the football team. I still think they should be the football team. I like football team.
Better than Commanders, for sure.
I thought they stumbled into kind of an endearing name, and they didn't, you know, and it's because they can't put football team on a shirt and sell it.
Well, they went from Redskins to Commies. That's not very good either.
It works for Barcelona. Like, it works for these soccer teams. Like, Barcelona FC is like as recognizable as it is, right? A lot of these, it's basically just a soccer naming convention, and it would have been Washington FT. And I thought, you know, it's original. Like, people, the only issue is when you're trying to refer to them and you can only call them Washington, because you can't call them football team.
Yeah, the football team.
Yeah. But either way,
from Washington.
This is the mailbag, and as of now, I'm not diving in on the coaching search. I will soon. Like, I think it's only a matter of time. But 5 weeks away from the end of the season, there will be a point where all we have to talk about is the coaching search. So I'm not going to pop the cork on that bottle because you can't put the cork back on. You know, if you've ever drank champagne, like, once the cork,
you're just going to take Gruden out from the film room and put him on the field.
Yeah. There's no recorking, right? That's the metaphor I'm using. But either way. Don Zanon had this comment before we came out. I don't even know what it means. He says, I was hoping that when Jeff Nowak got a chance to work on his car and we all had a bye week, that it was going to be the extra mojo needed to beat the Rams. Even Dr. King knew the Rams was going to win. I don't even know. But I think he's talking. I did get to work on my car during the bye week. Yeah, but that I think what you're saying is, like, you know, you had a lot of advantages in this game. This should have been like last year. The excuse was, hey, it's a short week. You got to travel out west. You know, you weren't prepared, and it should have.
Right, the complete opposite. Long week, and you were at home.
Yeah, extra rest. You're at home. They've got to travel coming off Sunday Night Football. Bad loss, and they were the better team. You know, and so yeah, it's tough. And that game, while closer, while more competitive throughout, was still very similar to the game we saw in Week 16 last year. Like, the defense played better this time around, but not good enough, and the offense didn't do enough.
We talked about, I know, in the pregame stuff about all the physicality of a guy like Puka Nacua, but seeing him more in like that constant game action, you're just more impressed with the guy.
They haven't tackled him once in 2 years.
Right.
That catch. Oh, I mean, we didn't talk about that catch enough in the first half. That diving catch. Or no, there was the third quarter. It was their first touchdown. It was the scoring drive to open the second half. That insane diving catch on 3rd and 6. If he doesn't catch that, the Rams settle for a field goal. The Saints get the ball back up 6-3. Who knows where it goes from there? Instead, he makes this insane catch that we're not even going to talk about because his best skill is catching and running. But he still does stuff like that. And that was a catch. Like, I was like, there's no way. Watching it live, I was like, there's absolutely no way he caught that ball.
We need some fifth round finds like that for sure, my man.
Well, you see all these young players dominating every week. And I'm like, where are the Saints?
Where?
Like, they don't have them. Every game I watch the opponent come in and be like, well, we have this guy. We have this guy. We have this guy. Everyone but the Browns, at least. And even the Panthers, you're like, he's really good. He looks like he could be pretty good. Chuba Hubbard, he's young. He's pretty good. You know, they get Jonathan Brooks just showing up. And then you watch the Saints, and you're like, well, you know. Ooh, the UDFA that just showed up is actually playing better than I thought. That's it. That's what you have.
That and MVS, baby.
Yeah, Chambliss79 says, aging veterans who can't make the play anymore can't support young players who are trying to learn proper ways to play. Now the sideline discussions create chaos on the field. See, I don't know if I buy that. I don't think the aging players are making the younger players worse, if that's what you're saying. Like, I think that the younger players, in a lot of instances, are playing above their weight because there are veterans leading them. But at the same time, it's like the fact that you're saying that and they're still not getting impact performances is telling you that the player quality isn't good enough.
Yeah, so. I don't think in any way the Saints' leadership in what they have in the veterans, there's any kind of negativity those guys are spreading.
Yeah, no. And like, that's honestly, if you want to complain about the aging veterans, it's that with all those veterans in there, they're not going to allow you to just fall off a cliff for the final 5 games. Like, they're going to go out there and like, they're not going to lose to the Giants because they have those guys. Because they're not going to allow you to lose to the Giants. They're not going to allow you to sleepwalk through a loss to the Raiders. They're probably going to go out to Tampa in Week 18 and win, even if they're eliminated, because that's just what this team's going to do.
Yeah, for fans that want the tank to happen to better the draft pick, you're right. This team is not in the locker room planning vacations right now.
Right. That's what you should really be complaining about, is these guys aren't going to allow you to lose games that you should win against. Like, the Saints are finally favored against the Giants. It tells you just how sad the Giants are on the road. The Saints, the 4-8 Saints are like, it's on the road against the Giants. That's how bad the Giants are. Giants aren't going to win another game. I'm very confident saying
that. I believe they are trying to achieve that, like, where the organization wants that, and really the players don't give a damn.
Well, no, but I mean, the Giants don't have those veteran players that are going to keep you afloat. They just have a bunch of young players who are like, okay, let's see what happens, but you're not getting that motivation. You're two and eight. You lost your best defensive player in Dexter Lawrence. Like, they're not going to win another game. Whereas the Saints are going to be like, hey, this is what we do. We go out and win. Richard Horner Jr. says the running yards are misleading. We did not run well up the middle. I don't think they're misleading. I think you had several chunk runs from Alvin Kamara. I think Alvin had a good game despite the offensive line not really doing him any favors. Like, there was 4 or 5 times in that game. Like, I know the offensive line room recently has started playing a game of how do you get through that? And they'll watch clips every week and ask the question, how did Alvin get through that? Because it wasn't us We didn't do it for him. He made that happen on his own. And you can hear Deuce. If you listen to Deuce on the broadcast, at least three or four times in that game and most weeks, he's just like, that was all Alvin. Like, there was, the blocking did not do much. He made something out of nothing. And the number of times he turns a two-yard loss into a two-yard gain, it's not going to go down. So I don't think that it was an issue of, like, the misleading. Like, you were, when you were running the ball well, you were playing well. And you, when you got back to running the ball late in that game, you were able to drive down and score and at least get yourself into position to score. But I don't know. I don't think that that was a red herring. I think they were running the ball well. It was just a matter of Alvin was running the ball well.
I just need Alvin's trainer, specialist, whoever, to do some more wonders on his hands, please.
I wish I could get him on retainer to fix whatever.
Did Mario ever get his from Amazon?
I don't know. He didn't catch any interceptions, so we'll find out.
Maybe he could order Alvin a pair, too.
Chambliss 79 says, I was peeved with Carr only on that last play. Just run, dude. It's fourth down in 22 or so seconds. If your receivers aren't open immediately, just run. I agree with that because it's like, you only need 2 yards. And, you know, he can run. Now, I don't think you're a quarterback. You want to be in the business of taking hits like that. But you watch like a Josh Allen play. And Derek Carr's not Josh Allen, right? But in those situations, he's not sitting there waiting to find out if someone's going to come open. He reads it quickly and he goes. And I think he gets there. If he takes off and goes, he's going to take a hit. But I'm okay with that. And it's easy for me to say that. But I think he would be
okay. Hell yeah, right.
I think he would be okay with that. And it's like, you just got to get forward, get down, get that first down. And then you got three plays inside the five. You run the clock down all the way. So that 2-point conversion, either you win or you lose. And that was what was going to happen. That was Darren Rizzi came out very quickly and said that. Derek Carr was 100% on board. If you ask Derek, he was kind of the driving force behind that idea. But I think Darren was going to do it either way. And, you know, it's just frustrating because you watch him with 4 seconds back there. They're sitting in zone. They're not going to be able to fire upfield. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, but
it's definitely tough. And I don't know.
It's real.
Carr just had it in his mind. He was going to get it to Juwan, I guess.
It's really easy to nitpick in that situation of like, you know. But yeah, again, Juwan was open. If he finds a way to extend for a split second and gets that ball off, I think, you know, it could very well be 21-20, and we're talking about a loss anyway. But it's frustrating to, you know, it's like in an NBA game, like you have the ball, no, any shot is better than no shot, right? The Saints got no shot up. The Saints got the ball with 10 seconds left. They inbounded it and then they just dribbled it out. They dribbled it off their foot out of bounds. That's the end of the game. So it's frustrating. I was also annoyed on that last play, but I didn't think Derek had a terrible game. I thought he played the game in front of him.
And no, I definitely didn't think so either.
So it is what it is. Like, everyone's going to be mad at Derek. I get it. People are annoyed with Derek. People don't like Derek.
He's close to last on the list of why they lost.
I wouldn't say last.
I said close to
last. I wouldn't say he had a great game, but I don't think he was, you know, they didn't turn the ball over. He didn't get sacked. Yeah, maybe he threw the ball away a couple times when he could have tried to extend. But, you know, they do a lot of pure progression. So once the play is dead, the play is dead. Like, you're not doing a lot of these kind of extended, you know, backyard football plays. Would you like to see more of that? Yeah, that would be nice. But that's just not the game you're playing.
A little off the quarterback track a bit. Do you know who the backup quarterback was for the Rams?
It wasn't Stetson Bennett.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo. I was like, holy shit.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Stetson Bennett is their third string guy.
Yeah.
He was inactive. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't even know he was there.
Good old Jimmy G.
Good for Jimmy G. Brian Cavett says, is Taysom's career over? That was hard to look at. We talked about this in the opening segment.
Right.
It very well could be. We'll see. You know, I think Taysom is the type of guy who's going to come back. Like, I don't think he's the type of player who's willing to let his career end like that, but definitely not going to be an easy road. So we'll have to see exactly how much he wants to commit to it.
And like you mentioned, what exactly is up with the knee? We don't know any specifics yet, but depending on the recovery process, and we've talked about obviously his age right now, but I do feel like Taysom would be that dude willing to put in the work to get back.
Yeah. Justin Pasquale says, now we're going to need to see Kendre more than ever with Hill done for the year, probably. That is, yeah, you're going to go to New York. You're going to get Kendre back, I assume. And maybe he can give you some juice and stay on the field and give you some hope that the run game has a future after Kamara.
Alvin needs somebody to help him out back there for sure.
I'd like him to have somebody to help him out, that's for sure. But we'll see. And, you know, I don't know. I'm tired of having this conversation about Kendre. It's the same conversation every time.
Right. We've seen flashes, not enough. We know the talent's there. Can he stay healthy? Boom, bang, bing. There you go.
And if he stays healthy for the last five games, we're going to go into the offseason being like, well, can he keep doing it? You know? And he'll inevitably get hurt again because everyone gets hurt after a certain amount of time. And we'll be like, there it is again. He's hurt again.
Well, one of the interesting things with Kendre Miller too, it just seems to be there was that extra of the butting heads with the guy, with the head coach. And I'm just curious now with Dennis Allen out the mix, what happens there? I'm not saying obviously he's going to be absolved magically of injuries. Just curious to see. We'll see going forward what Kendre Miller can do with no DA around, because obviously there didn't seem to be any love lost between the two. And I know those reports about him going to IR were interesting, I thought.
Correct. Now, so Brian Cavett asks, will they flex the Monday night football game? Philly and Washington play on Sunday at noon. Bye-bye primetime Monday night football. I think it's very unlikely
that they take a potential snow game away from Green Bay.
Yeah, if it was the Saints versus, I don't know, the Giants, for example. Even because the New York market is so big, I could see it just because both those teams are so unwatchable. But even then, like the Giants, it's a market size thing. Let's do it differently. If it was the Saints and the
Arizona,
Arizona would be a good example. Like, but Arizona's at least got a winning record. Like,
right,
we're talking about teams that are probably not going to make the playoffs. Then you consider flexing it out. Like the Packers are 10-3. The Packers are interesting.
The Saints Raiders game.
Yeah, no, and even then it would be like, okay, it's Derek Carr going against his former team.
There you go. There's always something right
win in Vegas. So. Like, I just don't see that as, like, I don't think the matchup is that bad is what I'm saying. And they've already flexed the game that week. I think they flexed Broncos Chargers to Thursday, which that would annoy the hell out of me. I guess Sean Payton had to agree to it. So that's interesting. But because the Broncos are the road team. But you Sean's do need.
Like, do I get to pick the refs for that game?
Seriously. I'm trying to figure out how much notice they have to give you. I knew at one point, I believe it's at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just think with the potential of we've been seeing these snow games pop up this year, and I think because it makes for better viewing. I think that they would love to see a dome team going into Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and the Packers are a ratings draw. Like, right. I think that's what people forget is it's not necessarily about the matchup. It's not like Philly and Washington; it's a better matchup, so they're going to want to put that on Monday night. It's about the ratings, and as long as they feel like the ratings are there, they're not going to flex the game. The Saints don't have to be notified until 12 days ahead. That they don't have to tell teams so you have 2 weeks, right? So that would be December 11th that the Saints would have to find out by. I don't think they're going to flex that game. They could flex that game. Again, it's changing days is a significant thing for the NFL, for the network. You know, changing days and changing locations, which is what would happen, is difficult for the network who bid on that game and got that game. It's difficult for the teams. It's difficult for the league. So I don't see it happening, but
I'm curious. I'd have to look real quick. What is the Sunday night game though? Because maybe Philly Washington does get flexed to Sunday night.
Bucks Cowboys.
You're not flexing Cowboys out either. I feel like even though they're trash
and they're still relevant. They're 5-7. They're not like, you know, the Giants again, but yeah, I could see Philly, Washington. But again, like that's really the only good game in that noon window. So like they don't want their national noon game to be terrible either. Like I think people forget like it's like those ratings matter too, you know. The afternoon game is the Dolphins, 49ers, Jaguars, Raiders, and Vikings, Seahawks. Vikings, Seahawks is a good game. So, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. Okay, a couple more. This is going to be our toughest game left, and I feel okay about the rest of our games. Overall, we played okay besides run D and lack of passing game. Yeah, the Saints didn't get trucked in this game. It was competitive. It was 14-14 in the fourth quarter. The Rams are just they were the better team on that day. If the Saints are healthy, are they the better team? I don't know. It's tough to say. But they definitely were not the better team yesterday.
I think that run D is problem number one. And right below it is like 1B would be O-line, obviously. I mean, like I said, you're losing both battles in the trenches. You're not going to win the war. Ba-boom.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's day one stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know, you win you draft through the lines because you need to win in the trenches. And if you don't win in the trenches, you don't win a lot of games. And the Saints have finished off the last two games on defense by winning in the trenches. And they just didn't do that today. So much so that they were not even willing to say, hey, let's see if we can get to overtime. Let's see if we can stop them with.
Right. We know we have to end this if we can.
That's more telling than anything about how this team feels about its defense right now. And like, there was no question they were going, you know? So either way, it's tough. And we'll see how, you know, and this is something we talked about throughout the week. Last week, we haven't seen Darren Rizzi have to deal with a post-loss locker room yet. So let's see how that goes, you know, because winning all of your games is obviously nice. But if you're going to be a head coach, honestly, the next two games might be more important for that case than anything. And I'm not saying to stay with the Saints. I'm just saying when you inevitably interview for another head coaching job, they're going to look at, okay, you lost this game. How did you respond? If you go out and you lose your next three games, that hurts. That's damaging.
You faced adversity and didn't recover.
Yeah. So, you know, I think these next couple games, while I think this loss kind of eliminates a lot of the intrigue for the Saints, for Rizzi, for Kubiak, for a lot of these guys, there's still a lot on the line because it's their, you know, Bobby says this all the time. You're playing for a job. You're playing for your livelihood. Both, you know, the players are playing to put good tape out there. Like, they're not going to be like, let's tank. You know, the coaches are not going to be like, let's tank, because they're probably going to get fired anyways.
Rizzi's like, the game plan this week is just throw whatever you want out there. We're just trying to get better draft picks for next season.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the idea of tanking, is the guys you're asking to tank aren't going to be the ones benefiting from the tank, because right. Most of them are going to be gone. And they're going to be gone because of the poor quality of play. You know, so it's never going to happen with, especially with the Saints, in terms of, you're not benching DeMario, you're not benching Derek, you know, you're not going to do that. I could see maybe if you're mathematically eliminated and you want to say like, hey, let's see what we have in the young guys,
right,
quarterback. But as long as you're in mathematically not eliminated, Derek's going to be your quarterback. You're not going to bench anybody. You're probably not going to bring a guy like Chris Olave back. Eric McCoy's a question. Maybe it's just not worth it anymore. You would want him to be right for next year, so you don't want to do anything that might damage him long term. But
no, if they get eliminated, then definitely I would shelve Kamara.
I would shelve Derek. And I would, you know, on the defensive side, maybe you would shelve a Tyron and DeMario and say, let's see if you can get healthy for next year and try it again. But we're not there right now. I wager we will be there soon, because I don't see them beating the Commanders.
But who knows, though? Like you said, the division is so wonky. I don't know what to expect from any team.
You still need to get to 9-8. So if you lose another game, I think it's over. Whether it's mathematically over or not, if you lose another game, it's in my mind. You know, a lot of fans, I'm sure, have already, like, the way I've been phrasing it is the season is teetering on the edge of being lost. And I know there's a lot of fans out there who have already pushed it over the edge in their own minds. Like, it's over. I'm not wasting any more energy talking about it. The team's not going to do that because they have to motivate themselves to go out there and play a game where you can end up tearing your knee up and ending your career on any play. So it's like, you're not going out there unless you're committed to winning. But I'm very close to being in that party, and I hold out longer than most people.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like I'm getting into to draft mode, sadly.
I'm not getting into draft mode yet, but I am getting into head coach search mode, because that's going to happen. Like, I don't get into draft mode until Senior Bowl is here. And after the Super Bowl, when you start to get into like combine season, that's when I really get into draft mode. But yeah, head coach search mode is going to happen a lot faster and a lot earlier.
Obviously there's three openings right now, and who knows how many we're going to see at the end of the year as well. And I don't know if anyone else gets canned at this point of the season.
Giants is the interesting one to me, because that'll be an attractive job if Dable gets fired.
Right.
I don't think he will, just because I think he'll get a pass for one season because of the quarterback situation. And you handed him Daniel Jones. That was not his guy. So I think you'll probably let him. And the fact that players like Dable. So
Dion and Shadur are coming to New York?
Yeah. McCarthy is a good question. Jerry Jones might just say, like, you know what, I'm done. But that would be stunning to me if a guy wins 12 games 3 years in a row, and then he has one down season with injuries and his quarterback's out and you fire him. Doug Peterson, how does he not get fired?
Right.
Zach Taylor probably gets fired. Jets is already open. Colts isn't going anywhere. Titans isn't going anywhere. Bears already fired Lions. So, yeah, I think that's probably – you're going to be looking at 6 to 7 open jobs. And the Saints are on that list. So,
yeah, who's going to be poaching? Whose OCs and DCs we're going to be talking about? And then going through the run-of-the-mill, what's going to happen with Belichick, Vrabel? Is John Gruden in the mix for a coaching job again? Fun times.
I just don't want to hire another cast off from another. I'd like them to at least do their own thing, is the thing I'll end on here. I want the Saints to make a decision based on this is the best guy for the job, and not like the safe, well, he knows how to be a head coach thing. Right? Now, if it's Jim Harbaugh coming up from college, that's a different story. But if it's like, oh, I really like Matt Eberflus because he's got experience. No, don't do that to me. You know? I want to do something fresh. And he could been a head coach before, but I don't want it to be someone who just, I don't know. It's tough.
No, to me, at least my taste for the guys that are, you know, you want to call the retreads, I'd be most interested in Vrabel out of all of them.
Give me Arthur Smith.
Fuck, get out of here. Wasn't he getting interviewed somewhere for a college gig?
Yeah, I can't remember where, but I think he in North Carolina, I think.
Okay.
They fired Mack Brown.
Yeah.
Maybe we could poach a college coach. Give me a college coach. Don't give me – here's the guy I definitely don't want.
Brian Kelly. Don't
give me Cliff Kingsbury. Because the fact that people are looking at Cliff all of a sudden and being like, oh, he's the answer because they drafted Jaden Daniels is hilarious. Yeah. But
no, I heard a lot of folks speculating he's going to be the next head coach in Chicago.
I could see that. I really could, because of the USC connection. And,
right,
you know, Caleb Williams needs a more college-oriented offense probably. And he made it work with Jaden Daniels, so why wouldn't they assume me? You know, it's like that's probably a good feather in his cap.
Right.
If you have a young rookie quarterback that you're committed to, you don't have a choice. Like, you got to make it work with him or it doesn't matter. Yeah. I think you're probably right. I think that's a good bet that he ends up with the Bears.
Interesting. You know, there hasn't been that connected dots of people saying, you know, somebody for the Saints yet.
No, it's all been, like,
except for Gruden. Everybody wants to talk John Gruden.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really knows what Mickey's going to do in a head coach search.
Right.
In a true head coaching search, not one where, you know, the die was probably cast early on that it's like, it's probably Dennis Allen, but we'll kick the tires on some others. Like, what is he going to do when there is no real incumbent that you feel like, okay. Because we haven't seen him do it, really. And I think keeping Dennis Allen was more about Sean Payton than it was necessarily about Dennis Allen. Now, keeping Darren Rizzi won't be about Dennis Allen if you do. And I don't know. This is why I don't want to talk about the head coaching search this early, because it's all just so open-ended.
We should just get who's Sean's OC? We'll take him.
Who is Sean's OC? It's not Pete Carmichael. Is it Lombardi?
Oh, it's not. I thought it was Pete. He's just a sneaky Pete. He's an assistant.
An assistant.
Okay.
I think it's Joe Lombardi. That would drive me nuts if they bring back someone. Like, I guess like Aaron Glenn. But like, I want Aaron Glenn, it's because I want Aaron Glenn, not because I want the connection. So I don't.
Yeah,
that's it. That's where we're going to wrap this podcast up. On that very definitive note of who's going to be the head coach, we don't know. And we will not for quite some time.
It still could be a Merry Rizmas. You don't know.
Oh, it sure could be. And a happy Riz year. But until that time, we will operate as if the world intends to spin on.
Getting ready for Big Blue this week. Woo!
I'm going to have to unpack my cold weather jammies and figure out how that's going to happen for me.
Talk about a team stack with playmakers.
Yes, and it'll be a dry run for the real cold weather apocalypse coming in a couple of weeks, which, you know how cold it's going to feel when the Saints are mathematically eliminated out there? It's going to be cold if there's motivation. If there's no motivation and it's just torture, they might lose that game by 30. But either way, let's wrap it up.
And there's you just with your mic shivering out there going, what the hell am I doing in this?
I'm going to not be reporting anything. I'm just going to be like, it's cold.
Guys, I'm standing by the heater where it's nice and warm.
Guys, I can't see the game, but it sounds great. Keep doing what you're doing. Anyway, all right. Do that. Go Saints. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Remember to subscribe. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit Steve up on Twitter. Hit the show up on Twitter at Saints_pod. And until the next time, do that. Go Saints.
Do that.
Lose out.